Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Boy, does it pay to be in L.A. today. What are we going to get, 80, 85? It's the middle of November, end of November. I remember growing up in New York City, I could not stand the winter. Many of you share that sentiment. And as an athlete training, every winter you had to be more careful. There were always going to be more sprains, more strains, more aches. Grandma's arthritis would always get worse. And even as a boy, you could begin to understand the relationship between, well, you didn't know it then, but the relationship between the blood, cold weather, and the muscles. And that's today's show, Blood and Muscles. A relationship that other dimensions of medicine, Eastern medicine, Chinese medicine, Indian medicine, old European medicine would understand that the condition of the blood could prophesize the condition of the body, that disease conditions and blood conditions were just a reflection of each other, and that you used the muscular system to predict where the organ was going to be eventually. Now, in Chinese medicine, we call this blood stagnation or blood stasis. And the organ that we give responsibility to for controlling blood stasis is the liver. The liver that does 1,600 different things, known functions of the liver, 1,600. Today, modern science continues to overlook these relationships. That the liver controls the blood and that the blood controls the muscle is really at the fundamental of all of what's developed today as orthopedics. When you're talking about a joint and whether it aches and pains, you're talking about the liver and the blood. When you're talking about arthritis, you're talking about the liver and the blood. When you're talking about words that mystify many, like fibromyalgia, today's show is actually entitled Fibromyalgia, the relationship between blood and muscles. No matter which way you cut it, you're not going to be able to give effective therapy to an individual with anything like fibromyalgia. Like what aches in the muscle that hasn't been termed fibromyalgia. Like any orthopedic condition, a disc herniation, a disc bulge, and all the various facets of disc issues, issues within the joint. You're not going to be able to give any effective therapy to anybody unless you first consider the blood. Now, the liver, as I said, is the filtration system for the blood. So rather than focus continually on the symptom, and this is a symptom, any symptom, right across the board, from a cancer to a Lyme disease to a joint replacement to an autoimmune disease, we have to go to the blood, and then we have to go to the liver. Now, what there is to understand is that, and this is the fascinating part of this, is that the brain is always watching the blood. The brain, via the autonomic nervous system, is always watching the blood. So that anytime the buffer systems or the regulatory systems in the blood that have to be kept at a homeostatic level, in other words, the brain is always watching the blood so that the blood changes in only a tiny way. And if it does, the body compensates it immediately. I'll give you an example. The pH of the blood. Now, most of you are on top of that word pH, the acidity versus the alkalinity of the blood. And we all hear the issue about the pH of the body. Well, we don't mean the pH of the blood, nutrition advocates that are always taking the pH. You know, of course, this is never the pH of the blood because you test it through the urine. But the pH that you're checking, the acidity or the alkalinity, is never about the acidity or the alkalinity of the blood. It's about the acidity or alkalinity of the intercellular fluid. This, of course, is what's of prime significance. But the pH of the blood, it's always constant. It's always around 7.4. And if it goes to 7.3 or 7.2 or 7.5, you're in a lot of trouble. It's one system that the brain constantly keeps at a constant. Mineral balance. Here's an example of another entity that the brain is going to keep at a certain level. If you're measuring your sodium levels and your potassium levels and your magnesium levels and your phosphorus levels, if you're measuring what is generally measured through blood testing, those ions, those minerals, can vary greatly in the tissue. If you're magnesium deficient, right? If you get cramps and somebody tells you, oh, you're magnesium deficient, we don't mean in the blood. There's no such thing really as potassium, magnesium, sodium, calcium, phosphorus deficiency in the blood. But it's of enormous significance if you're considering the tissue, the space in between the cells or inside the cell. The last place you're ever going to find a problem is the blood. And this is a built-in mechanism driven by the intelligence, the central intelligence of the body, the nervous system, to keep you functioning normally. When you have deficiencies in the blood, you're in the ER room at the hospital. So rarely do we get them. What we do is we depend on our massive number of reserve systems to buffer the blood. Here's the fascinating part of the discussion now. The blood is controlled by the liver. So that if in fact the brain sees things going askew in the blood, one of the buffer systems it depends upon is the liver to clean all that garbage out of the blood, so we don't have to go into shock, to an alarm state. That buffer system in the blood is in part controlled by that big, healthy organ in the upper right quadrant of your body called the liver. The liver is the filtration system for the blood, controlling all the buffer systems, and that's the point. Now, this is the wonderful part. The minute that liver becomes sluggish, and we know what that means, and we'll just review that just basically in a moment, but the minute the liver becomes sluggish, then the concentration of poison starts to build up in the blood. And now what does the body do? Well, it's going to try to excrete it through the kidney. It's going to try to excrete it through the skin. It's going to try to excrete it through the breath. It's going to try to get it out. And when it can't, the brain, through the way the body's hemostatics, the way its diffusion processes, its osmotic qualities are designed, the brain is going to push all the garbage from the blood into the muscles. Now, this is where orthopedics comes in. This is where words like fibromyalgia come in. This is where Eastern medicine is understood, that what you use to determine where the liver's at and where the blood is at is by touching the muscles. The muscles in the joints are just reservoirs for overflow that should come out the liver that can't. Now, right there, if you get that one, you got the whole show today. Because then you start looking at the muscular system as simply a flag for what's going on in the liver. The muscular system is simply a flag for what's going on in the organ systems. That's a deep concept. That's a concept that abides in Chinese medicine, in Vedic medicine, in old European medicine. I'm going to say that's a concept that abides in world medicine. A universal law in medicine, if you're looking at it correctly, if you have clarity in the way you really see the body, the evolution of the body, the evolution of disease, is to continually use the condition of the muscular system as a reflection of what's going on in the blood and in the liver, and you could even say in the organ systems. So when we look at a word like fibromyalgia, what we're talking about with fibromyalgia, if you have fibromyalgia, if you have joint pain, if that musculoskeletal realm of you is in concern, you've got to go inside. You've got to forget the muscle and understand that the muscle is just a reflection of the blood, and the blood is in deep dynamic relationship. The blood is an organ. So the blood's not just the blood. The blood's an organ. The blood is its own entity. And blood stasis, and blood deficiency, blood stagnation, and its relationship to the muscles, well, that's the new age of medicine. That's the old age of medicine translated into new realms. Now, we talk about blood viscosity. Blood viscosity is an issue in hematology. In hematology, we have dimensions of it that think in terms of blood viscosity. I've put on past shows labs, the Meridian Valley lab. Meridian Valley has actually a machine that measures blood viscosity. You don't need a machine. All you need to do is pinch an inch, I say. Pinch an inch. If you're sitting there listening to the show with a loved one right now, have your significant other just touch an arm, touch a leg, and gently but firmly press their thumb into your muscle, into the muscle of the arm, into the muscle of the back of the neck, into the muscle of the leg. And if you press gently at first, and then if you press towards the bone, if the person being pressed upon says, ow, that aches, it's telling you the blood is way too thick. We could do so much in medicine if we understood this. It's a palpatory test. To press into the muscular system, to press into the muscular system, and to find that you feel bruised, that you feel bruised all over. Well, you know what I just did? I just defined fibromyalgia. The definition of fibromyalgia is to press into 9 different points on the body, and if 9 different points are all tender, your rheumatologist, your orthopedist, your general doctor can tell you you have fibromyalgia. A big word. It's one of the most horridly abused terms in medicine. Because it doesn't mean anything. It's like if you walked into a doctor because you had a pain in your head and your doctor said, after hours of analysis, you have a headache, what would you say to your doctor? It's no different with fibromyalgia. If your muscles ache, and they ache continually, and you walk into a doctor's office, and after 2 hours or 1 hour or whatever, your doctor says you have fibromyalgia, it's a big word for your muscles ache. But I want to extend this into the joints. I got into nutrition originally. Originally, my training was as a chiropractor. As some of you know, I was valedictorian of my class in 1994 at Cleveland Chiropractic College. That's here in Los Angeles. It was 3.5, 4 years, about 7,000 hours of a lot of stuff. Chiropractors get very well educated. If they take advantage of that education, the education in chiropractic school is fantastic. And the schools have always been uptight about giving us an education that was comparable, if not better in certain ways, to medical school. And I really do think it's the case. We had PhDs, professors teaching us, and if anybody knows anything about academics, just because you're not teaching at Harvard or Yale or UCLA doesn't mean you don't know your stuff. There are a lot of PhDs who just can't get those academic slots in the big schools, but they know their stuff. And since they have something to prove, well, when you look at the guys teaching in chiropractic school, the professors there, you can find yourself in a tidal wave of academic intensity. And I think this was the case at chiropractic school. I often felt that the professors there were unnecessarily difficult because they had something to prove. They were a little annoyed they weren't teaching at UCLA. And that's not a criticism. It's just it was aggressive. And you took advantage of it. If you were really going to study, you got a ton of science. And of course, since it was chiropractic school, the education in neurology, neuroanatomy, general anatomy, was absolutely fantastic. But they never said anything about the relationship between the blood and the muscles. And this is the faux pas of it all. We have fibromyalgia groups. We have chat rooms. We have a world association for people suffering from all sorts of musculoskeletal ailments. And yet in chiropractic orthopedics, in osteopathic orthopedics, in general MD orthopedics, nobody tells you what I'm telling you today. That the muscles are simply filled with blood. And it's absolutely that simple. And if the blood isn't clean, it's going to ache. And it's going to go into the joint. And eventually you're going to have a massive inflammatory process based upon the fact that your muscles are toxic with toxic blood. It's just common sense. And I'll always tell you, this show is about common sense. So even if you don't get the science, even if you can't hear the science, even if you can't understand the science, you can just listen with your common sense. Case in point, when you touch an organ, if you can touch an organ, when you palpate an organ, when you press into the abdominal cavity, let's take the female breast. The female breast. All women after a certain age have that little concern in the back of their head about cancer. Cancer of the breast. Cancer of the breast begins when the blood that goes to the breast is not filtered and drained out of the breast, which forces a deposition of poison from the breast into the from the blood into the fat of the breast. There's a transfer from the blood into the muscle. There's a transfer from the blood into the organ systems. There's a transfer from the blood into the fat of the body. Where you have fat, you will have toxicity the minute the blood backs up. So if we're talking about a poison, that poison, when it hits an optimal level, a level in the blood that alarms the brain. So here's where the pinball machine occurs, the pinball effect. When that poison in the blood hits a dangerous level, the brain, the immune system is watching it. And when it hits a level of alarm, the brain will push it from the blood into the connective tissue. Now, fat is a connective tissue. You can think of it that way. It's a lipophilic. Lipophilic, big word for fat soluble. any fat-soluble chemical in the blood is going to end up in the fat of the body. The breast is made of fat. The breast is made of fat. The bone marrow is made of fat. The brain is made of fat. Your nerve tissue is made of fat. There's lots of entities in the body that have a high constituency of fat. And that garbage in the blood, if it's fat soluble, will find its way into the fat of the body in these different organs, thus the breast. So from blood to organ, from blood to muscle. And of course, who's supposed to be coming to the rescue of this? The liver. And what does the liver do? It takes it and it transforms it and neutralizes these chemicals and then flushes them down the bile ducts. Now, if you're new to the show, well, good morning. This is Dr. Vincent Medici. This is the first time you've listened to the show. So I hope you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. And if you're new to the show, what you don't know is the word biliary patency. If you are new to the show, biliary patency means you've got to flush the liver to throw the bile off. Bile is this green substance that the liver makes, that it dumps all these poisons that it took out of the blood, and it dumps them from the liver through the bile flow into the intestines and out your body. Bile, if you didn't know, makes the feces green or brown. Some of you have had that experience where one day you look at the feces and you notice it's yellow or white. And that's when, for whatever reason, the liver's not producing the bile or the bile ducts are stuck. That light-colored feces means that the biliary system of the liver is clogged. And what this means is there's a backup of garbage into the blood. Now, for my regular audience, good morning. We're putting it together as we always do, right? And you've pressed deeply into your limbs, into your arms, into your legs, and you scream, ouch. Like your body is one big sprain, one big strain. And when you've got that sprain, strain feeling all over your body, when you've got that ache in the joints, when you can't turn your neck without it howling, you have to go to the blood, and then you have to go to the liver, and then you have to go to the biliary system. Now, when you get into your biliary exercises, we'll call them, your gallbladder flushes with a little olive oil. Your gallbladder flushes with a lot of olive oil. Your coffee enemas, the golden standard in any of these biliary exercises, the golden standard in any of these biliary exercises is that you see the yellow-green fluid come out of your body. If you don't see the yellow-green fluid move copiously out of the body, you can be assured you're not getting the correct effect. How do you determine the efficacy of a history of gallbladder flushes, a history of coffee enemas? How do you determine the efficiency, the effect of the money you put into your nutrition, of the money you put into your cleanses? You have to go into the connective tissue of the body. You have to press into the connective tissue of the body. If you have fibromyalgia, if you have chronic joint pain, you may well need to understand it purely in terms of a series of cleanses over time and before you get significant relief. And this is the key. Anytime somebody says, cleanse to help your body, if you're told you need to clean and cleanse to help your fibromyalgia, you need to clean and cleanse to help your joints, and you even get that concept, what you have to understand is long before you're going to get help in the target area, in terms of less pain, less symptomology, you have to extend that faith and understand that long before you get noticeable improvement of the symptom, meaning less pain, you may well get less sensitivity in the tissue. It will hurt a little less when you touch it. There'll be some discernible effect in the joint when you press into it before you get a real reduction in pain. That's a real difference. When you're cleansing the connective tissues through the liver, gallbladder flushes is an example. When you're cleansing the connective tissue to deal with your orthopedic syndromes, your fibromyalgias, polymyalgia rheumatica, the muscular and joint pain that come from joint decay, joint degeneration, disc disease, degenerative disc disease, arthritis, autoimmune problems that hit the joints. When you're doing any of these things, long before you'll get significant symptomatic relief, it'll hurt less to touch. Touch is a palpatory tool. A doctor can measure the efficiency of the cleansing, or he can gauge the efficiency of the journey of healing relative to how a person responds to touch. If it aches less when you press into the tissue, your client is healing, even though the pain is not yet reduced significantly. You got to take that one in. Why? Because your act of faith as you heal is to trust that as long as that tissue is less tender, even if your pain hasn't reduced, you're on your way. So there's a gap time. There is an all-important gap time between the time, money, and energy you spend to get a return on your symptom, to get symptom reduction, pain reduction. There's a gap time between pain reduction and when it hurts less to press. You got to take that one in because that's your act of faith. What are you thinking in that gap time? And this is the whole thing in holistic medicine. In holistic medicine, as it applies to orthopedics, as it applies to fibromyalgia and all these syndromes I've talked about, and you can add to the list. What do you do in that frame of time? How do you think in that frame of time? If you've been sick orthopedically, if you've had fibromyalgia for X number of months or years, if you're part of the fibromyalgia fan club, the chat rooms, you go online and just Google search fibromyalgia or joint pain or whatever. There's thousands of chat rooms, thousands of associations. It's like a world federation of people whose muscles ache. And we have the audacity to pawn this off as a singular issue, meaning you have fibromyalgia or you don't, when in fact we all have fibromyalgia. We all have it because we all know what it is to be toxic in the muscle. It's just a matter of intensity. And if we were using that finger pressure into the muscle, when you press into your muscles, it should feel good. Now there's revelation. Saturday morning, November 21st, 2015. Revelation. It's actually supposed to feel really pleasurable when you press deeply into your muscular system. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing for you, ladies, during your luteal cycle each month, that blood cycle? From day 20 to the day you bleed. Those are the sensitive days. For some of you, they're agony. Did you know that in day 20, in day 25, if you press deeply into the muscle, it's supposed to feel good? You're supposed to feel like a cat purring when somebody digs their fingers into your arms or your legs or your shins or your neck. During that stage, how many of you can say that? How many of you can say that? Definitely not enough. If you have PMS, if you're postmenopausal, but you had PMS, if you had a life's history with painful periods, this shows about you. It's not a far cry from painful periods and fibromyalgia. It's not a far cry from painful periods, postmenopausal included, and what we're talking about in this show today. It's not a far cry from painful periods and disease. The period, the quality of the female blood, since women bleed each month, tougher to do it with men. But since women bleed each month, we can look at the quality of menstruation, that the quality of the blood. Does it clot? How many days do you bleed? Do you have pain in your body? Do you have irritability? The quality of the period, especially that cramping aspect, clotting aspect. Do you cramp? Do you see clots? That's telling us the condition of the blood in your organ systems. Not the blood coming out during the cycle, but in the organ systems. We say, if you clot during your period, if you have pain in the uterine area during the period, we can tell you that your liver is thick with blood. We can tell you then that your muscles are thick with blood. We don't even have to touch. Look at the genius of that. That fascinates me. If you really put the magnifying glass on it. Just simple little things that you can do at home. Why aren't you being asked, ladies, during your physical exams at my favorite place in the world, Kaiser Permanente, what the quality of the blood is during the cycle, or what it was when you had the cycle, because it hasn't changed unless you've changed. Just because you don't bleed doesn't mean this doesn't apply. If when you did bleed at 50 or 40, the blood was thick and painful, rest assured at 70 or 80 now, the blood is hard as a rock in your muscular system and in your organs. And if we know that, then we know that the brain for many years has been pushing the garbage in the blood into where? All those organs that are going to get sick someday. So I did something sneaky today. The show's about fibromyalgia. Orthopedics, the relationship between the blood and the muscles. In essence, the relationship between blood and the organs and the muscles and disease. But how many people suffer from varieties of fibromyalgia that they have no concept of relate to their blood? Have I made my case? I think so. I feel good about it. Let's take a look at some of the pictures. Go to picture number one. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get onto the website, straighttalk.cc. Show 235. That's 235 hours. The pleasure of it all as it builds, like volume after volume of concepts, sometimes given to you, same topic, different angles. You have to marinate yourself with knowledge. We're not computers. We're people. And we have to absorb deeply, not just quickly. We have to let the work go into the marrow of your bones, not just something you spit back out. Oh, yes, I've heard that before. No. It's, oh, yes, I haven't yet inhabited the concept. How many of you have done a flush to the liver, to the gallbladder, coffee enemas, olive oil flushes, and noted that you're lighter in your muscular system? There's your hint. How many of you will do a flush and not notice any change in your symptomology and say, I didn't get the connection? And that was my point. You have to endure the gap time between what you take on good faith and the time there's a reduction in symptomology. Hang in there. but hang in there with intelligence. And understand, as far as fibromyalgia is concerned, you have to go after the joint and the muscular system after you prepare it through the cleanses. And that's if we're going to focus today on musculoskeletal, the 1-2 punch. The one is clean it, the two is medicate it orthopedically. Do the exercises, the stretches, the cross fiber massage, the sweating in the spas of different sorts. Go back to cleansing it, go back to stretching and cross fibering it. Back to cleansing, back to stretching and cross fibering. Keep cleansing out that liver. Keep sweating it out. Break up that sediment. Sediment. Precipitation into the body. Calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate, calcium hydroxyapatite, all sorts of fatty plaques, uric acid crystals, biofilms, sludge barges in between the cells where microbes are growing. This gooey swamp of precipitation begins when the blood gets too toxic, and you can measure it in the muscular system. Now, picture number one. I love picture number one. Great picture of the liver. The liver removes many excess hormones from the body. Fantastic. Excess hormones. Ladies especially, how many times, you know, it's interesting, men never do this, but women always do it. I think it's hormonal. They come in and they say, I think it's hormonal. And I come in and say, that doesn't mean anything. You see, you've been taught to think that because, ladies especially, you say it's hormonal, you've been taught that you've got to do something hormonally. Bring the estrogen down, bring the estrogen up, bring the progesterone up, flag the DHA, the pregnenolone, the progesterone, the this, the that. You think that because you've tagged it hormonally that it's important for you to do so because then you can solve it hormonally. That is not the case. That's why I put picture one there. The liver removes many excess hormones from the body. For every person that can address a symptom related to hormones, hot flashes, joint pain that's cyclic to the cycle. For every person, tender breasts, only tender all the time. Tender breasts, tender body parts when you eat an estrogenic food. For every female, for every person that can link something to a hormonal relationship, there are 5,000 people that just needed to clean their liver. So you're right, it is hormonal. But the hormones are controlled largely by the liver because the liver removes excess hormones from the body. And that's the point. That's the point. That's picture number one. Look at picture number three. Fact, in 2005, over 280 toxic chemicals were found in the blood of newborn babies. You would be afraid to go into the blood, to go into the fat of adults living in Los Angeles, to see the stew of chemicals that are there. And of course, the myth is that if you measure the concentration of these chemicals, according to strict guidelines, each chemical is infinitely below the LD50, meaning the limit of toxicity that we would have in alarm. Meaning each chemical in your fat, in your blood, in your organs, if we take out your liver and chew it up in a blender and measure the chemicals, or your kidney, or your brain, or if we scrape out all your bone marrow and look at all the garbage in it, and pick one chemical, that one chemical will be far below any important guideline, any important level. In other words, there's no big deal because the chemical is not at that toxic level. And this is how we function with this myth. Instead of saying, if 500 of these chemicals metabolize almost the same way, but they're 500 different chemicals, if you add up the total chemical residue, the total chemical concentration of all the chemicals put together, then what does that mean? You have a whole new entity. So we say, we don't measure bioaccumulation. We don't have a science in toxicology that respects bioaccumulation. The net effect of the totality of all the chemicals lunging through the blood, failing to get out of the blood through the biliary system, and thus going into the fat of the marrow, the fat of the breast, the fat of the brain. And where do you think the body puts these chemicals first before? Do you think the body's stupid? Do you think that God designed a body with no intelligence? Where do you think these chemicals are going to go if they can't get out through the liver? To your brain? To your bone marrow? Of course not. They go to the muscles. Thus the name of the show. Fibromyalgia, the relationship between the blood and the muscles. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what did or could. You have a whole different way to look at your health. If you really start to get hip to a simple concept. And you can do something about it. Which, of course, if you've listened to my show before, you know that you just can't take herbs to thin the blood. But many herbs thin the blood. Garlic, turmeric. Oh, yes, you take those. Well, keep taking them. Get them in the best form you can. Many herbs are fibrinolytic. Once the blood holds chemicals of a noxious concentration, the immune system reacts and the body spins the web of fibrin. And now you have this swamp of fibrin and stagnant blood. Your fibromyalgia, your joint pain is fibrin and stagnant blood all meshed together in the swamp between the cells of your body, organs included. And you can use the herbs fibrinolytically. Turmeric is a fibrinolytic herb. Nattokinase, serratia peptidase, along with olive oil flushes, can do something. But the point is now that these chemicals that we tell you don't matter as individual chemicals. When you look at picture 3, it's trying to tell you 280 toxic chemicals. Add a zero to that. Add another zero, thousands of chemicals circulate through human tissue. Babies drink it in mass in utero. And if we study each chemical individually, it's of no importance. It's not to raise alarm. And that's because we don't really study bioaccumulation. It's a different science. Go to picture number 5. Picture number 5. Great picture. I just love it. You can learn so much from science. Hard science. Picture 5, that's a slide. As you study science, you run across a course or 2 or 3 or 10 in histology, which ultimately leads to pathology. So what does a liver look like if it's healthy under a slide? There it is. Picture number 5. What does the liver look like if it's unhealthy? What do you think that healthy, unhealthy? Look at unhealthy and look at all that white stuff in there. Now cross out liver and put brain. Now cross out liver and put muscle. Now cross out liver and put prostate. Now cross out liver and put breast, put pancreas, put stomach, put eye, put joint, put anything you're interested in. What's that white stuff? You've got it. That white stuff is scar tissue. And that's what the body turns into over time, a mass of scar tissue. That means where we had healthy cells, we have less healthy cells. We may have dead cells. And you can see this histologically. You can measure it even on ultrasound. But what you can do, it's so much better. It's so much easier. It's just press into your body. And if it hurts, there's your flag. And if you invest time, energy, and money in holistic medicine, and you hurt less, you did good. And if you've got a particular pain syndrome, before that unhealthy liver looks like the healthy liver, before that unhealthy liver that's going to cause all sorts of tension in the body, before it looks like the healthy one, you're not going very often to see, or there's going to be a gap time. It's going to be a gap time between the time you start addressing that unhealthy liver and the time you see a reduction in your symptom. And you got to trust that gap time. So the next time you walk into a doctor's office and you review your findings for the month or two or three of cleansing you did, the next time you go to your chiropractor, your acupuncturist, your nutritionist, your osteopath, as you've been counseled to put time, money, and energy into various cleanses and herbs and all sorts of nutritional supplements and so on and so forth in the interest of helping you with your symptom, before you walk in dismayed that the symptom's still there, you'll take joy, or at least consolation, solace, in the fact that your muscular system feels better somehow. When you dig into it, it doesn't feel as tender as it did. That your periods, your female cycle, is a little better. If you have Lyme disease and your cycle improves, if you have fibromyalgia and your cycle improves, you may not see any changes. If you have tumors in the breast, if you have cancer in the prostate, if you have all sorts of things that you're interested in doing something about, and you've made your choice, whatever that choice may be, if you're trying to get your body healthy to create an environment to slow down the spread of illness, well, then one way you're going to measure it is by palpatory exam. If it hurts less in the tissue, you're doing a lot, but there'll be a gap time, and this is the point. Let's go to picture number 11. Lactic acid. Your joints scream. Your muscles scream. You think of lactic acid simply as that which builds up when you exercise too much. No, lactic acid is produced by the athlete when the athlete doesn't get enough oxygen and fresh blood to the muscle. So the side effect of the muscle trying to contract when it doesn't have enough oxygen is an anaerobic, without oxygen, ATP cycle. And we produce as a byproduct lactic acid. What happens when that lactic acid crystallizes in that swamp of goo that's built up? Joint pain, muscular pain, fibromyalgia. And it becomes symptomatic. So add that chemical to the fray. And what you do to cleanse these out, you're already doing. But are you understanding what you do? And does it give you that faith through that gap time between the time you start and the time your symptom reduces? And this is the point. Now let's talk about opiates for a moment. Okay? Go to picture 17. I will never stop getting this point across. Endorphins. You know, I've worked with someone for 4 years that has been in a massive amount of chronic physical pain, enough to make somebody want to kill themselves. And it's taken this individual a full 4 years to start to ride his endorphin wave. To ride his endorphin wave. And this is the difference between people that heal and people that don't heal. All of us are designed to create endorphins. But not all of us recognize those endorphins. The natural state of the individual, in pain or not in pain, is to produce a certain concentration of God chemicals, of endorphins, of feel-good chemicals in the body. Some people, from the first day they hurt themselves, from the first day they have pain, attach to the endorphin response instead of the pain trigger. In other words, if you have musculoskeletal pain, if you have disease, if you have problems in your body, despite these issues, despite the pain syndromes, despite the symptoms, you're still producing endorphins. Can you put your head onto the endorphin? Can you focus on what feels good in a regenerative process? Or do you want to stay fixated on the pain? Endorphins make endorphins. When you're in pain and you do good things for your body, it produces endorphins. That's a signal from the essential healing mechanisms of the body. It's a signal that beseeches you to keep your eye and your focus and your soul and the goodness of yourself on that endorphin response. And when you are not capable of responding that way, when you insist on looking to the other side, I'm still in pain. Doctor, I'm still in pain. No matter what I do, the pain hasn't reduced. You never get out of pain. I have recently worked with someone for over 4 years to finally enjoy this individual at the point where he doesn't care that he's in pain anymore. He's been in, I would say, sometimes agonizing pain, physical and psychological, for 4 years. And he's finally, after 4 years, decided not to stamp his feet on the ground because of the pain. And that is where the cure is. The cure for your symptom, for your fibromyalgia, is not to focus on the pain, and rather to learn to more increasingly celebrate what's good. And if you can't do that, you do not heal. That is a law in natural healing, that until the client, until the patient, until the person can put their focus on that little blessing, on that flicker of hope, they will never get out of their pain syndrome. And chemically, we call this the endorphin. So into picture 17, brain after sitting quietly, brain after 20-minute walk triggering endorphins, make endorphins forget your symptom. Make endorphins forget your fibromyalgia. Focus on the pleasure of the endorphin. Your neck hurts, but a foot rub feels good. Your neck hurts, but a liver flush feels good. Your neck hurts, but deep tissue feels good. The more you feed it, the more you call your attention in the direction of potentiating your endorphin response. Endorphins flush out pain chemicals. Endorphins receive the liver. The organ systems have receptor sites for the endorphins that displace the pain chemicals. There's a balance in the body, and that balance is metered on the back of where you put your attention. Basic fundamental chemical. If you're new to the show, if not, same number, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Don't complicate it. If you've got something chronic, if you've got something you can't figure yourself out of, call, make the appointment. Don't make it complicated. Just get on the phone, make the call, come in one time. Just one time. Just one time can make all the difference. I have people all over the world. We Skype all over the world. They study the shows. It doesn't take a lot if you really listen. If you let these shows, 235, absorb into your marrow, you have all it takes to take you wherever you want to go for whatever you've got. It's not that complicated, you see. Science isn't complicated. Healing isn't complicated. People are complicated. And that's why I call the show Straight Talk. It cuts through the complicated things and it makes it simple. 714-850-1007. Let's keep it up with the pictures. We didn't get to the pictures today. Amazing, huh? Hardly needed the pictures. Go there. Picture number 22. Look at that. Picture 22. Percodan, Tylox, Oxycontin, Vicodin, Zidone, Tylenol, Fiorinol. I don't even know some of these. Demerol, Darvon, Dilidod, Dolophine, Lortab, Stadol, Talison, Toluene, Ultram. Slavery. Slavery. Why don't we put the real word in there? Slavery. Just slavery. Slavery, and that which prevents you from understanding the truth. You see, the scam is to keep you stupid. The scam is to set it up to make you feel stupid. The scam is to make you feel ignorant, make you afraid to ask a question. The scam is to delude you into nonsense. We sacrifice people and we slaughter them by keeping them ignorant. This is why knowledge is everything. If you're chronically ill, if you have symptomology, it's not about finding that genius doctor. It's not about finding that genius cure. It's about getting educated. Because if you feed your soul with knowledge, you will grow your faith. If you feed your soul with knowledge, your faith will grow. And that is what provides the fuel, the rocket fuel for a healing. And that's biblical. God's children perish not for lack of faith, but for lack of knowledge. You see? Pray all you want. Ask God for the miracle all you want. Not a bad idea, not going to knock it. But what about that axiom, God's children perish not for lack of faith, but for lack of knowledge. Knowledge. Hit the show. 714-850-1007. God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Saturday.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.